But it is Sunday morning. We always look back in the archives of San Francisco Giants history. And a man who was beloved for so many years, was here in 1958 with Russ Hodges, and that is the great Lon Simmons. So this is brought to us by the U.S. Restaurant, 414 Columbus, Columbus and Vallejo in North Beach. And I'll talk more about the restaurant a little bit later in the show. But here is our conversation with Lon Simmons as we walk down to the Public House. What a pleasure always to see Lon Simmons at the ballpark, the Hall of Famer in San Francisco. Lon, I'll let you say it. What brings you back to San Francisco?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I was sleeping most of the way, but it was a fairly large airplane. Coming from Hawaii, I can't very well make it if I just try to do it on a surfboard.
Well, a lot of fans think you could, so the great Lon Simmons is with us. Lon, you and I have never discussed many things over the years, but I've never heard the story, honestly, how you became a broadcaster. Now, I know you pitched, and you were in the Phillies organization and got hurt, but how did broadcasting come into your life?
Well, it was sort of a convoluted situation. I hurt my arm the first year playing baseball, and I came back, and I was married and had a family, and I was had been working in construction, and that wasn't going to be my future, I hoped. And I had taken journalism in high school, so I thought, well, maybe I'll go over to the newspaper, because I had done writing for them while I was in school. The only thing they had for me was to be the society editor. And I said, I don't think I can handle that. So they said, well, if we ever have anything, we'll call you. Well, it turned out that within 2 months, they only had two writers in sports. And within, I think, a month, both of those writers left. And so they called me. But by that time, I had gotten a chance to talk to some people about doing radio work. And I went to a radio school to find out how to, in those days, you had to have the ability to operate the transmitter and everything. So I went to that school for a while, and I found out that I wasn't going to be an electrician. So you had to get a first-class license. With that, you had to pass a test. And so I quit my job. Of 2 weeks, I got a question-and-answer book and memorized the book and went to the test, and I passed the test. And so I had my first-class license. That meant that I could work in a small station. And those times you had to have a first-class license because you were working out of the transmitter generally. I got that, and if you had a first-class license and you could speak English, you could get a job. So I called Elko, Nevada, called the school and said they needed somebody. And so I talked to the guy and for a while, and he said, do you have a first-class license? And I said, yes. And he said, well, I can waive the thing about speaking English after having talked to you. But anyway, I went to Elko, Nevada, and I worked there for a month just doing things and not sports. And then I got a job in Fresno, and I started I did DJ work, but they had sports, and so they let me broadcast the sports and do a sports show for nothing. So I got the experience. It turns out that a fellow that lived in Marysville, where I was in Yuba City, he was now managing a station in Fresno, and he heard me and asked me if I'd come to work at Fresno. I went to Fresno. I was in Fresno for 3.5 years, and somebody told Bill Shaw at KSFO about me, and so he called me in Fresno, and then that was where I went. I went through the life. Everything broke just right. When I was supposed to go, I went, and it worked out.
Boy, timing in life is everything. What a great lesson, but a first-class license, very good, before you could get on the air. But had you ever broadcast a baseball game before? I mean, I know you loved the game, and you played it, but what about broadcasting a game?
First time I broadcast a baseball game was when I went to Yuba City. And I said, I can do sports, and I've listened to enough broadcasts through my youth that I can sort of figure out how to do it. So that's how I did. I never did acquire a style. I just managed to speak, and I just opened my mouth, something came out. A lot of times something came out that I didn't want to, but That was a different story. But I had never broadcast a game until I went to Yuba City.
Now, growing up for me, I mean, I got to listen to Red Barber, Connie Desmond, Vince Scully, a young Vince Scully in those days, Mel Allen, Russ Hodges, of course, who you worked with so many years, Frankie Frisch, Lorraine Day in New York. I mean, the legendary names of the game. Who did you listen to growing up? Who inspired you?
Well, I grew up in Southern California, and there was only Pacific Coast League. So I listened to Pacific Coast League broadcasting, and I forget the fellow's name that was doing the Angels, but he did them for years. But I also listened to the fellow who was broadcasting the USC games. It turned out, it was a funny thing, I started rooting and being having favorite teams and everything when I was 4 years old. And USC was a team that was my team. The New York Giants were my team in baseball because we didn't have anything but the Pacific Coast League. So consequently, it worked out that I eventually was offered a scholarship to USC, but didn't take it because I was going into the service. And then I got the broadcast, and I got the broadcast for the Giants. It came from so the two places that I loved the most, I had the chance to go to one, and I had the opportunity to broadcast for the other one.
Well, thank you again.
Okay.
More coming up on the Sports Leader.